And joining us now on our Newsmaker line, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld is with us. Mr. Secretary, hello. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you very much. Now, I watched your press conference earlier today, and what, your 20,000 extra troops, they'll be staying longer in Iraq. Tell us what you have planned and what you and why you're planning it that way.
Well, General Abizaid took a look at the situation, and as we've seen, we're moving towards the transfer of sovereignty, which is scheduled for June 30th, and we've anticipated that during the period between now and then, we'll see an increase in the number of incidents, because clearly it's not in terrorists or the former Saddam Hussein thugs' interest to have sovereignty passed to Iraqis. And so we've expected there would be an increase in activity, and it is occurring, as we've seen over the last week. As a result, he has requested that we retain in country about 20,000 people for a period.
Are you surprised at what we have been seeing in the last couple of weeks, more specifically with this guy al-Sadr?
Well, no. Sadr's behavior has been what it has been, and it's kind of a pattern we've seen. He's been agitating. He's been hostile to the coalition. He's been hostile to the Iraqi Governing Council pretty much from the outset. He took over one of the mosques. He took over one of the police stations. He started conducting his own trials from time to time. He does not have a broad support in the Shia community, fortunately. And so what's taking place now are some discussions with him about his future. As you know, an Iraqi court has asked for him to be arrested and to be looked at in connection with the murder of a prominent Shia cleric named Hoi.
Yeah. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is with us. What's amazing about al-Sadr, too, Mr. Secretary, the fact that this guy's father was killed by Saddam's thugs. He was in exile until the U.S. liberated Iraq from Saddam Hussein. Do you think he'd be thankful?
Well, I don't think he's his father's son in the sense of his prestige or his age or his understanding or his leadership qualities. I think he is what he is.
What has been very troubling to me, and I know to a lot of people in my audience, is when you hear people like Ted Kennedy, number one, saying that this president and this administration concocted a war that was manufactured in Texas for political gain for Republicans, but also he and John Kerry comparing Iraq to Vietnam. I've got to believe that it makes your blood boil.
Well, you know, it's that season, I guess, and the president has asked Colin Powell and me to kind of stay out of the political scene. One, from a historical standpoint, one has to look at some of the comments that are being made during this period with a jaundiced eye.
Sure. I mean, look, when America's praying for our soldiers over there, and the death of one precious soldier is one too many. But, you know, when we put it in some historical context, we lost nearly, 7,000 Marines on Iwo Jima alone during 30 or 40 days of fighting on that island. We lost thousands on Guam, Midway, Guadalcanal, and I can go on and on. If John Kerry and his friends were in office then, I guess they would undoubtedly be declaring the Pacific campaign a failure.
I guess we lose 40,000 Americans to traffic accidents every year. You're quite right. I was reading a book about Ulysses S. Grant last evening for a bit, and in one battle, several thousand died. And it is as you point out, any loss of life, any life that's not lived is so sad, and it breaks one's heart. But in terms of the importance of what's being done here, I mean, we lose in the military 350 soldiers a year to traffic accidents. It is a hard thing to lose a life, and the recent spike in losses of people wounded, and all you have to do is go out to the hospitals here in Washington, to Bethesda, Walter Reed, and visit with those folks, and you're so proud of them because they're proud of what they're doing. They're doing noble work. They're doing important mm-hmm. work. Freedom is worth defending, and they care about what they're doing.
Well, one of the things that strikes me is we are very blessed to have people that want to help preserve and protect and defend our liberties and freedoms, which we often take for granted. And it is sad to lose anyone. And I'm very struck by their courage and by their steadfast commitment. And one of the few things that I think we've gotten out of the 9/11 Commission, and I think the president reiterated this point the other night, is that we are at war. They declared war on us, and we just didn't listen for a long period of time, pretty much until after 9/11. But this is a war. People want to destroy us. And I can imagine a situation that if we, you know, if Saddam were not removed from power, and 3 years from now there was some bio or chemical attack in the United States, and they got those weapons from Saddam, the very people that are most critical of the president would be wringing their hands and say, why didn't you do anything? We knew we had those weapons.
Yeah, I you're certainly correct. It is any war, any conflict, whether it's high intensity or low intensity, is a tough thing. And it does take people to look at it with a perspective and with an understanding of history and an understanding that throughout the entire history of our country, there have been times where people are called upon to step forward, as all of these volunteers have, and defend freedom and defend our way of life. Our whole system's based on trust. And terrorists strike at that trust. They instill fear and try to alter our behavior. And we simply can't let that happen.
Yeah. Are you as troubled by the 9/11 Commission and how partisan it has become as I am?
You know, I have not had a chance to watch it much, but I've been struck by several things about it. The way this they have used staff reports as opposed to the commissioner's involvement surprised me. I've never been in a commission where it was handled that way. I'm sure there have been commissions that have been handled that way. I think they have an opportunity if they search their souls and the commissioners get engaged personally and recognize that most of what they're dealing with here is fact. It's not philosophy or ideology, it's fact. And if they apply themselves, they ought to be able to have a unanimous report that would be beneficial to the country. If it's partisan, obviously, it would not be very beneficial. It would probably just gather dust on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things I've been struck by is why there aren't any real intelligence or law enforcement experts on the commission. You have a bunch of former politicians, former political appointees, in the case of Richard Benvenista, who I think is the most partisan on there, and in the case of Jamie Gorelick, someone who has ordered the FBI to ignore intelligence information. Let me ask you this. This purported tape of Bin Laden came out today, offers Europe a truce, but not the U.S. or Israel. Are you convinced, number one, it's him? And number two, do you expect Europe to act the right way?
I have not heard the tape, and our department doesn't get involved in validating those things, so I just simply don't know the answer to your first question. Europe is a lot of countries, 25, 30, however, depending on any given moment you look and see how many are in that geographical sector. And there's no doubt in my mind but that the overwhelming majority of those countries recognize that the idea of a separate peace with terrorists would be inexcusable. And already we've seen several world leaders, including a European leader, Berlusconi, stand up and say strong statements that he wouldn't do something like that. And he understands the importance of the global war on terror. And also from the other part of the world, Koizumi in Japan did as well within the last period of hours.
Let me ask you a final question here. Because it's very tough, for Americans to realize we are at war to the extent that we are. I believe millions of people support the mentality of those that attacked us on 9/11. Do you think Americans fully understand the extent to which there are such a large number of people that hate us and want to kill us?
I suppose not. I think that it's something that has to... It becomes better understood over time, and if one thinks about it, 9/11 has been many, many months ago now, couple of years. And as time passes, the shock of that fades somewhat, I'm sure, for some people. Certainly not for those of us in positions of responsibility who are trying to connect the dots now before the fact, before another terrorist attack. We know they're planning additional attacks. And we've got to believe that at some point there will be another attack of some sort, mm-hmm. somewhere, against our interests or our country. The American people, however, I think, are concerned mm-hmm. about terrorism properly, are supportive of the mm-hmm. steps that government must take if we're going to be successful in winning the global war on terror.
Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, we always appreciate having you. Thank you for the good work you do, and thanks for being with us once again.
Thank you so much, Sean.